farm. Stay on the scene. You got to have the feeling.
Good morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam and Greg back one side of the glass. Bo's on the other side. Everybody, the band is back together.
Morning.
And how you doing?
Morning. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm all right. Wasn't here yesterday.
I know.
But you guys got to go out there and play.
We were looking for you. We're like, where is he? We don't know. We're going to
family stuff. Family stuff. It's the holidays, man.
It is. It is that time of year.
It is a time of year where people who don't normally get on the road are just slowing and clogging and just being delivered. But the rain is not helping.
You talking about the Interstate Friday.
I'm not talking about
Friday. Friday was miserable in the afternoon around this town. Everybody's out of school. Everybody was leaving town, and it was just – It was brutal Friday.
I came up here for a minute because we have new equipment that those of us who produce have to learn.
You got to make friends with it.
Yeah, and I made sure that I got out of here before that craziness happened because it was rainy, it was nasty.
Right.
This weather is going to hang around for at least a couple more days.
Yep. I think maybe late tomorrow, Tuesday, it's supposed to be in the 60s for 3 or 4 days.
Is there anything worse than being at a mall on a rainy day in December when you got, A, you got the angst of Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
B, you ain't got enough money or where your credit card limit is. Am I near my credit line?
Yeah. Do I have enough room for this?
Yeah, exactly.
I got one more thing. Can I?
And then you have to deal with all this traffic. But anyway, you guys be very, very, very safe out there. So listen, yesterday in the world of sports, man, we started the bowl games.
First bowl game.
And bittersweet. Bittersweet. But let's – should I get worked up about this now? I mean, you know, that we're in the bowl season, or are you like a lot of people who are waiting to those big ones in about a week or so until they get started?
It's some interesting matchups. You know, I look at some matchups, and, of course, we got some games that we watch because Georgia Tech's in the bowl game, and, of course, Georgia comes on a little later on in the bowl season. I'm looking for a big game with them with Texas. So there's something for us to look forward to. But I kind of like to watch the bowl games and like hear the names of folks who are from our area. It's kind of like March Madness.
Okay.
You know, if you follow the high school scene, if you watch the bowl game, it's almost, I won't say in every game, but in a lot of games you're going to see somebody who came from this area and you say, okay, well, I remember that kid or whatever. So that kind of makes it interesting for me.
I got one game. Before the big ones start, I got one game I want to check out. Yeah. And it ain't because – the guy's playing it. It's just the name of the bowl. It's Thursday night. It's the Big Boy Movers, and I know I'm saying this wrong, but I don't care. Garasparelli Bowl.
It's Big Boys. It's the Bad Boys.
Bad Boys. What did I say, Big Boy?
Big Boys.
I'm thinking of bad. Anyway. Bad Boy Mowers.
What does that look like?
I don't know. I just... You know, Marshall and South Florida playing in it, and it's Thursday night.
Bad Boy Mowers, I mean.
That should be, right there should be a name of a band. They should just stop it right there. Bad Boy Mowers.
Right? Man, I never heard of Bad Boy
Mowers. Garasparelli Bowl.
Garasparelli Bowl.
Marshall, South Florida.
No.
That's the one. I mean, listen, let's take a second, in all seriousness, though. And because you and I talked during the week, and you know a friend of the show a little bit better than me. But the bowl game started, and the one that we have that leads things off is a Celebration Bowl.
Celebration Bowl. Air Force Reserve Celebration Bowl.
And we have John Grant, who runs that on a regular basis. On the last few years, he's been on, kicks things off, talks about it.
Executive director. He's executive director, and had done a lot of work, hard work, and they had the second highest attendance yesterday for the Celebration Bowl, which was welcome sight to see. But he was not there to be a part of it, and we want to send out our thoughts and prayers to John Grant and the Grant family.
Yeah.
He had to go return to his hometown for a family matter, and we just want to know that our thoughts and prayers are with him today.
Now,
on
the field.
Now, on the field, North Carolina A&T wins this thing for the third time in 4 years. They're going to start calling this the North Carolina A&T Invitational because they come down here and win this thing. They beat Alcorn yesterday 24-22. Exciting game, exciting ball game. And a lot of people were watching the Alcorn team to see if Coach Fred McNair, of course, he's the brother of Steve McNair. His brother is the coach there now, to see if he could pull them through and they get the win. But North Carolina A&T won it again. And, you know, there's a big check that goes along with that. And these guys, they asked me, would you rather go to the playoffs or come here? And the players and the coaches all would rather come here and play the celebration.
They wouldn't want to come to Atlanta.
You know, so that's it. And apparently all the all the boosters and supporters, because there was nobody left in Greensboro, North Carolina. Everybody was down here yesterday, just having a really good time and winning the game. So salute to everyone that put on a good show yesterday and got the bowl season off to a good start. But we had another team from our state.
Well,
that
I was
won.
Just going to get into that, and yeah. Man, it was like finger biting time because they put up some points in the first two quarters and then sat back.
Yeah.
And then barely held on. I'm talking about Georgia Southern. They beat Eastern Michigan. Both teams named the Eagles.
The Eagles. And Georgia Southern wins it with a field goal with time running out to win. So that was big when you consider last year Georgia Southern had a miserable season. Coach getting fired.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just terrible time down in Statesboro. But they go and they win the Camellia Bowl in lovely Montgomery over Eastern
Montgomery,
Michigan.
Alabama.
And then in one other game, the Cure Bowl had Tulane against Louisiana. That's Louisiana. They don't want to be called, Lafayette.
Oh, so you guys get into that whole thing.
That's the folks. They don't want to be directional. We Southwest or Northeast or what, We just want to be playing on Louisiana. And so they played Tulane, who's also from Louisiana.
Right.
The schools are 135 miles apart, but they went all the way to Orlando to play this ball game.
That's where the money was.
And their money was there. And Tulane wins it 41-24 over Louisiana. We won't call it – well, they still call it ULL. They don't call it Lafayette. They leave the Lafayette off.
Are we still calling App State upset state?
Well, yeah. Can you still call them that?
That's what I was asking.
I don't know. Because you know what?
I guess that one – they worked for a few years, though. They carried that Michigan win for a few years being called upset state.
Every year they almost did it to Penn State this year. So, I mean, it gets harder and harder for them to get a game scheduled with one of those teams anymore because they know they come and crash the party and take that check. If you're going to come take the check, you're supposed to take a beating. They come take the check
and hang on a second. Is that written in the contract?
That's what's expected. We got a bigger budget. We got a bigger stadium. We got more money for our players. We're supposed to beat you. So here's this check for like $800,000, $900,000. Come on up here and play us. But when you go up there and you play them and you beat them, you beat them and you take the check. You're not supposed to do that.
That was the Carriers New Orleans Bowl. Appalachian State beat Middle Tennessee. Shout out to John Boy Bryant.
Yeah.
There's only a handful of people out there who know who I'm talking about, but he was an old air personality here in town. And he's the only person I ever met that went to Middle Tennessee.
Middle Tennessee, MTSU.
Yeah. So
wonderful Murfreesboro.
But they got beat 45-13 yesterday.
I thought it was
going
to be a closer game because Middle Tennessee State is known for being one of those teams, too. They're a strong mid-major program that you got to be careful when you schedule them. They can come in and upset things. Folks over on North Avenue found out about that the hard way. They invited them to come to Tech one year, man. Them dudes, Tech's defense hadn't stopped those guys yet. So, that's a great shout-out for Appalachian State to get that
win. What about the New Mexico Bowl? Did you check any of that out?
Check out high-scoring game. I didn't get a chance to watch it.
52-13.
Yep. Utah State. New Mexico Bowl presented by Progressive. These sponsors, these names for these bowl games.
Look at you getting the sponsors in.
Now, as I'm watching this, presented by that means we saw a lot of flow, right? We saw flow all day in all those commercials for Progressive.
You know what?
How much money is she making?
I was just about to say, there is nobody on television who does commercials, period, whose place I'd like to switch with or check I'd like to get. I mean, anybody.
Yeah.
And that's probably for the last decade or so.
She's raking it in.
She has earned every bit of it. I've not seen anybody with the range that she's shown in her commercials. The one where she's done like the Eddie Murphy stuff.
Different characters.
Nutty Professor. Yeah, playing all the different characters. She has earned it. And God bless her, man, because she does a great job. And she's one of those people who, if you saw her, there's only a few people who
If you
are,
saw her in person, you'd probably walk right past her.
You would, yeah, because she's got a different look. And you got to know she purposely doesn't do any interviews and plus she really can't. That's part of it too. She can't
really?
Go out and do. Yeah, you have to limit your visibility.
So she couldn't come to town and take part in any of the productions going on here.
She might be able to. She used to be an actress. Full blown in productions. She just doesn't need to now, and that job keeps her pretty busy.
Yeah.
But
and if you watch any sporting event and whatnot, she's all over. Progressive's on all over.
And she ties it right in perfectly. But the thing is about her is that she's one of those people that are famous from one end of the country to the other, but yet still approachable, but not one of those has that kind of fame where people just go crazy on them.
Does she make appearances?
I don't know. Why? She makes appearances in her commercials. She's selling something right there.
Yeah,
she doesn't need to go out and do personal stuff. Again, Progressive's got her under contract.
Oh, yeah.
So there's only so many things she can do.
Is that good or bad?
It depends on... You remember the kid who used to do the Dell commercials for, I forgot, this is late 90s or maybe the early 2000s, and he was kind of a stoner kid, for lack of a better way to put it. He did Dell commercials, and then he literally went out and got high, and he was either Central Park or something like that, and they just pulled a plug on him like that. And he was one of the biggest spokespeople in this country, one of the most visible kids doing it. People will know who I'm talking about, but you have, you're handcuffed in a way, because to be a spokesperson, you can't.
You kind of got to live with the what you
almost what you that, do. And you don't want to be perceived to be something else. So they really limit how they your exposure, for lack of a better way to put it.
Okay. So they're rewarding her pretty well for that anyway.
She is getting paid a lot.
Wow.
A lot. I mean, I'm gonna end it with this.
Okay.
There was the I forgot the car company where you heard the kid just say zoom zoom at the end of it.
Right.
You know the car brand.
Right.
That kid was six digits.
Whoa.
As a kid. And that was back when.
Yeah.
So you can imagine what she's getting. National ad, zoom, zoom. Just that right there. He was getting six figures.
Yikes.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's game day in town, man. What we got coming up
today?
Hey,
man, you interrupted. I was doing the thing here.
All right.
92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, good morning.
Morning.
Now say what you're going to say.
It's game day. What we got coming up today?
We got lots of NFL action. And we should tell people what's coming up here. First, of course, got Falcons and Cardinals pregame at 11 o'clock, kickoff at 1. Later on, Eagles and the Rams pregame 7:30, kick at 8:20. And over on V103, we got basketball action, Hawks and Brooklyn.
In
2
Brooklyn.
O'clock pregame,
mm-hmm.
3 o'clock tip-off.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell everybody, let's tell everybody what's coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. As always, we are going to give you the replay of Dan Quinn joining Hugh and John. So we can prepare for today's game. We'll give that to you top of the hour. Then we are going to talk to D-Led.
Yes.
Talking about this team, where they are right now, and any other things surrounding this game and the outlook for the rest of the season. But the Falcons had a loss in the family this past week, and that was Bill Frelick.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to talk to a teammate of his who also happens to be calling the game, and that's David Archer. And David's going to join us at 8:40.
Okay.
And not only, obviously, will we talk a little bit about the Falcons, but he's going to talk about his ex-teammate and what it was like playing with this guy. A guy who was, in the minds of some people, though, looked like perceived to be just a big, mean, nasty kind of guy, came out of Pitt and just a football player's football player.
Mm-hmm.
But he was also considered a Renaissance man. Guy went and testified in front of Congress about steroids.
Yeah.
Had a phrase that's now part of the football lexicon attributed to him, pancake block. That was Bill Frelick. So we're going to talk about that.
And just this past week, just before he passed, did something great for his former high school team. Put the bill for them to go and play for the state championship, and they won it. So, I mean, even down to
say that again.
His high school football team in Pennsylvania. They played for the state championship, and he gave some support financially to them to go in and play and they won.
Wow.
And they won. So I mean, just a remarkable guy, and played during an interesting time for the Falcons.
Yeah, he did.
So I think Arch would relate some pretty good stories.
Not only that, but he was also on the line. Now I don't know how much he played when Marino was there, but he obviously Pitt lineman. He played Dan Marino.
Mm-hmm.
And geez, what that must have been like, because Marino came in there. Well, he came in at 79. Frelick got there in 81, I believe. And then they went to the championship game, right? So, again, the timeline is kind of askew in my head, but we're going to talk to David Archer coming up at 8:40 about that. Now, coming up next, I want to talk to you about two things. One is this past week with the celebration that continued, because we haven't been on. I haven't seen you since last Sunday.
Yeah, no, I know.
But the celebration.
And I was out there Monday. I was out there in the cold and rain.
Yeah,
and
the Atlanta United and how they spent some of this past week. Because you were right there on the front lines. You were with the mayor.
Yes.
Not only at the game, but also on Monday. I hope she's feeling better, by the way.
Yeah, man. She's fighting the cold, but she wasn't going to let the opportunity pass her to get out there and celebrate. Have a good time with this thing.
So there's some things that happened this past week. Continuing the celebration, I want to talk to you about that. Also, the fight game. It was a big fight last night.
Big fight and big for the fight game.
All right, so we're going to talk boxing and Atlanta United next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning. It is Sam and Greg on a how would you describe this morning weather-wise?
Weather-wise,
yeah,
it's getting better. It's getting there. I mean, but the last 2 days, were pretty nasty.
And the fact that we say we're getting there doesn't really testimonial.
It's getting there. The last 2 days have been cloudy and cold. It's not as cold out, and there's nothing falling right now. So it's getting better.
Despite that, it's still a
game day Sunday.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
So I came up with a new game.
Yeah.
Before we get into this whole boxing thing.
Okay.
And then relive what was going on with Atlanta United.
Yeah.
Let's just have some fun with something. Because I bring up this insignificant information, you know, on this date, this happened, so on and so forth. And it's kind of nice, and it brings people's memories back. But I'm going to ask you or tell you what the event is. You see if you can guess the year. And this, I'm not trying to embarrass you or anything like that. Let's just see if you can. But a lot of people, some of this stuff, there's no way you're going to get. And sometimes I do it to lead into what we're going to talk about. So do you mind doing that?
That's cool.
All right. So like if I had told you that today, Joe Louis knocked out Al McCoy.
Wow.
For the heavyweight championship. He did it in Chicago, probably at Comiskey Park. If you had to guess what year that was.
Somewhere in the 40s. I'd say late 30s, early 40s.
Just pick a year. And, you know.
41.
See, you're going to be good at this because you're only a year off. 1940.
40, okay.
See? So that's what I'm saying.
I do that's Joe Louis time right along.
The point of it is, it just, you know, kind of keep things going. But this leads me into thinking about this fight that we're talking about, Joe Louis. Boxing matches, that was the place to be.
Right.
Get to a baseball stadium, Yankee Stadium, you know. The Polo Grounds.
Yeah.
Comiskey Park, things like that. But
you could only have them a certain time of year, though. Could you have them in the wintertime out there?
Well, listen, this one took place in 1940 in Chicago, and that wasn't it.
This time of year?
Yeah. They put a tent over something and, you know. Anyway, I wasn't around, and so I don't know. I didn't see what worked that out.
There's some snow going on up there.
But that was how things were done then. We are now on the beginning stages of how boxing is going to morph into that next generation of how they present fights. You're talking about the Alvarez fight last night, and this. Am I getting this? Do we pronounce it as an acronym, DAZN, or does it sound like any
DAZN,
kind of word?
DAZN, DAZN is what it is, and it's a platform, a streaming sports platform that is headquartered actually in the UK, but it's coming to be a big player in boxing because boxing is leaving HBO after 45 years. And that's been one of the, you know, pay-per-view and cable homes for boxing for a very long time. And so
boxing mattered then.
Yep. And so this is a different thing. They're going to a stream and they're looking for Canelo to be their first superstar. Has a 5-year, 11-fight deal, $365 million for a pay-per-view. You can start with a subscription of $9.99 per month.
The crazy thing is, I only think of the countries that this is available in right now, if I'm looking at this correctly, there's only one Spanish-speaking country that's a part of it. I think it's Brazil. I mean, but, you know, you got Austria, you got Germany, you got Japan, Switzerland, Canada, United States. I mean, predominantly Spanish-speaking.
Yeah.
And with him as their big star, you would think it'd be in other places.
Well, also, speaking of other places, last night's fight against Rocky Fielding, it's like in Rocky, was in Madison Square Garden, which is a distance for him from the crowd of Mexico. You would think it would be near L.A. or Vegas or somewhere in that part of the country. And he said it's been a long-time dream of his to fight at Madison Square Garden. So that's where he was last night. Maybe with this stream, it would allow boxers to fight more places and all boxers won't have to be in Vegas. That's been Mayweather's place.
Right.
That's not just Mayweather.
All the big fights have taken place there. And a lot of things are connected with fighting in Vegas, too.
Right.
But
you don't have to be in Vegas to be connected with
that
anymore.
That's what I'm saying.
That's one of the big stories. Jay Harris, you know, ESPN. He was on with me yesterday and asked him one of his top sports stories of the year. And one of them was the fact that gambling is getting ready to just be turned loose, which has always been there. He says, I'm not a gambler, but if people want to do it, let them do it. And, you know, boxing is a sport that's always had that connection.
Right.
Now you don't have to be in Vegas for it to happen, I think, because of this stream and things like that. This new platform will allow it to go other places and, you know, over to London. We said the next fight with Tyson Fury, the rematch with Fury and Deontay Wilder will probably be taking place in England. Anthony Joshua, if you want to fight him, you're probably going to have to go over there to fight him. And so this is where this stream is headquartered. So we'll see.
It's akin to what we see in basketball. You don't have to be in the big markets to be a superstar and get superstar money.
Right.
So this is, you know, by extension. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You know, you said something interesting and got me thinking, so I want your opinion on this. So as the big sports wrap their arms around gambling and prepare themselves for the next generation of sports fans who really want to do both, enjoy the games but also gamble on them as it's going on. We know the NBA is doing it. I don't know how long it's going to take for the NFL to come around to that, whatever. But let's say baseball does that. Soon.
Okay.
After they install it, do they pull the curtain down on Pete Rose and let him come into the Hall of Fame?
Because not the players are being involved in it. I mean, still be something that players
stay away from. But as a sport, and that's the reason why they booted him out.
Right.
If they...
If you're involved, if you're putting on a uniform, then, you know, I don't think you're allowed to do that. And that's the difference with Pete Rose. You know, if it's Pete Rose private citizen.
Let me ask you a question.
If it's Pete Rose private citizen.
Would there be anything more hypocritical sounding than that? If the sport itself has wrapped its arms around gambling and you can gamble on the games, you know, much like what we saw with the golf tournament with Tiger and Phil, as the match was going on, you could place bets.
Right.
Okay. So if that's where we're headed to.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Will all sports be a fit for in-game gambling?
I'm giving you a scenario.
I don't know if all sports will do that. Match play golf sets up perfectly for that. You know, so I don't know how well other sports set up or what situations would allow it.
However they decide, however they come to their conclusion, my question is this. The one guy, the one Hall of Famer who was kicked out of baseball because of gambling, if and when they wrap their arms around that and have it as a part of their sport, do they reevaluate him? Now, we can say all manner of things about him and what kind of person he is.
Yeah, that don't matter.
All right.
The way he played the game is the way he played the game.
Exactly.
And I've always said forever, if you want to put in an illustration, you're teaching a young person about playing a sport, and they may not be the fastest or the strongest or the biggest, you're going to point to Pete Rose, a guy who just worked hard and hard and had this will to beat you some kind of way in whatever sport you're coaching. You know, so that to me, that's the really hard thing about him not being allowed into the Hall of Fame for me, because he is the example. He embodies that guy who wasn't the fastest guy, wasn't the biggest or strongest, but would come out and just fight you for 9 innings every night. And that's, you know, he can't go in because he did what he did while he was wearing a uniform. So what you're saying is, sure, the gambling's going to be out there, but I mean, while you're in the uniform, you know, I mean, I was at an event recently, and I won't call her name, but she does work for our baseball team here in town, and she works in media relations. Those of anybody else who works in media that's listening to me right now knows who I'm talking about. And we were at an event at Oglethorpe University, and we were talking about the future of sports and some things may look for. And we started talking about the gambling part, and she started squirming in her seat, literally, physically. She started squirming. She is so uncomfortable with the idea of it because they've been told forever to stay away from it.
Right.
Gerald Riggs, if we call Gerald Riggs right now,
He'd be pretty upset.
He shakes his head about it because all the time he played the National Football League, they were told to stay away from it. Don't go anywhere near it. Stay away. We don't want to hear about you. You're going to end up having to go to see the commissioner. So, I mean, that's the whole thing. Some people are very uncomfortable with it. But obviously the people who are up the food chain with the money, the money folks, they are all right with it. And so, to me, that's where the
– Well, those people and the ones of, you know, the next generation of sports fans coming up are all right with it. So that's where you want to go. You want to go to what's next. So, I come back to – this is not about Pete Rose deserving to be in. I'm saying if they make that connection. But, again, we don't want to get into a whole Pete Rose Hall of Fame conversation because that's, you know, the cornerstone of sports talk radio. You know, so we don't do that. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. All right, since I saw you last
– Yes.
When I produced last Sunday,
yes,
we were on the heels and it was still fresh in everybody's mind. It was newly minted. We had a champion here in this city.
Yes.
And everybody was talking Atlanta United last Sunday, right?
Right.
And then you got to be at the event Saturday night.
Right.
And you were following Mayor Keisha.
Yep.
Is she buying, by the way, that we call her that?
Oh, man, everybody calls her Mayor Keisha.
Okay, just making sure.
That's who she is.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah.
All right, so, and she wasn't feeling that well.
No, she wasn't.
She was not feeling
fighting a little cold. I mean, you know, she's got to keep appearances, got to go stuff, got to pull slate schedule, and then the fact that this is happening on a cold and rainy night outside, but a team in her city is about to do something that we hadn't seen in 23 years, and she was not going to miss being there
exactly
for that game. I think she was in Arthur Blank's suite up there watching the stuff alongside he and his family. And okay. So, you know, she had a wonderful time.
That was Saturday night.
Yes.
Sunday, celebrated in her way like everybody else.
Yeah.
But Monday was the parade.
Monday was the parade. And
I haven't seen you since the parade.
Woo!
And I haven't seen you since. You know what this cup has been like? And their celebration is like an old James Bond movie where they say, Mr. Bond, I've never met you before, but I've been following your movements. It's kind of like that. I don't know, but we have all heard this cup has made different stops throughout the course of the week. But what was let's start with Monday and the parade.
Monday, parade.
For you and Mayor Keisha, and how did that go for you?
Went great, went very well. I was involved with the stream for ATL 26. We were carrying it live. And the idea of this proceeding down the streets uptown and people were out. And, you know, the crowd was big. It would have been bigger if the weather had been nicer right. And schools had been out. Last week was a testing week at schools. Kids were trying to get excused absence. There were still a lot of kids out there, you know, but, you know, schools had been out. It would have been, yes, downtown would have been inundated with kids to be a part of it. But it also gave the city a chance to do some of the things that are a little bit of a dry run for Super Bowl week. You had the motorcycle police. You had the mounted police. You had a chance for all those things to go out there. And I talked with some officials with APD who had a chance to start doing a lot of security for that event. They started planning that thing a couple of weeks out. They really did. They started planning for the celebration. They could say it afterwards. Yeah, we've been planning for that. They didn't want to say it early.
Exactly.
It kind of leaked out during the MLS Cup week, and the guys from Portland got a hold of it and said, you planned a parade, huh?
By the way, did we ever figure out where that log ended up?
Never saw the log.
I never saw the log.
Saw the log. I think that thing's firewood somewhere.
By the way, do you put it on the truck, maybe taking it back? Yeah, or do you just like
just leave it? Just leave it, you know. I drive it all the way back out to Oregon. So I never saw it. I was looking for him to bring it inside the building. I never saw the Portland Timbers log. So the parade was a lot of fun, good times. Everybody comes out and celebrating the MLS Cup as well they should. And it was great to be out there and talk with some fans. There was one fan with Terminus Legion. That's one of the supporter groups, the people that doing all the singing before the games and with the drums in the right. games with the flag. You know, the supporter group. He had come all the way from the Philippines. He works for a company that works when there are natural disasters around the world. And so he's working there. He's from here.
Right.
And has been a big supporter of Atlanta United. Flew all the way back over 8,000 miles to be here to watch them win the cup. And then after the celebration, he got on the plane and flew back to work. So as it was neat to see that, talk with people from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution about the layout. You know, whenever there's a big event, we always love this caption. And they plan those things about a week and a half out. They plan them out. And so a lot of them for this town, they've had to burn because they have – he said, it's great to have to make one up and we actually get to use it. I said, yeah, I guess it is nice. Actually, get to use it because they always make them up. Assuming that Atlanta will win, and we know what disappointments we've had over the years. So all of those headlines, those papers were framed up, and they all went out the window.
All right, so we know that the cup made it over to Magic City.
Yes.
We know that it made it to some other places. Here's my question as we get out of this. The next segment, I want to talk to you about a little bit more about this and the numbers that were associated with this game.
And the perception overseas.
Where would you take this? You are on this team. You get the cup for a day. Where are you taking it?
Where I take it?
Where do you take it to?
You know what? I take it to my alma mater.
Okay.
I bet it ain't been there.
I'm taking it to second base at Wrigley Field.
Really?
Yeah. And just sit there on the dirt next to it.
Okay.
Or outside that sign. I know that's not connection there, but you're taking it to your alma mater.
Yeah.
You're taking it to a place that's special for
I'll
you.
Take it to West
like
Georgia.
Ovechkin took it to. I think the thing was sitting next to Lincoln at the monument for a while there, the Stanley Cup. So,
but you gonna compare the Lincoln Monument with Magic City?
And that note, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Sam and Greg on just a funky looking Sunday morning, weather wise, but
yep.
we got football all day long.
We do.
We got Falcons, Cardinals, We got, that's 11 o'clock pregame, kickoff at 1. We got Eagles and Rams tonight. And in between, if you switch over to V103, got basketball, Hawks, and Nets. Speaking of basketball, this will be our first time having our buddy Deshaun Tate.
Yeah.
Deshaun's going to join us in the 7 o'clock hour talk, college basketball.
Yep.
Find out what's going on with Gonzaga. Find out what's going on with Duke. Find out what's going on locally.
Yeah.
So ask them all them questions. So let's flip this real quick.
Okay.
Because we were being sort of silly before. But we were talking about Atlanta United and the celebration this past week and some of the places the cup was taken. So I asked Sam, and I'm going to ask Bo. And let's do this locally. If you were on the team, you had the cup for a day, where would you take it to? Or one of the places you would take it to after you showed all your friends? Give me a couple. Because I got two places written down myself. You tell me your two.
Yeah.
Or one.
One. I said one was the alma mater. I'd take it down to Carrollton and let everybody at West Georgia see it.
Yeah. So that's like family. School.
Yeah, kind of.
Just to kind of be seen with it, you got to take it someplace. Where are you taking it? Come on, say what you said.
What?
When you were walking out. You were walking out there. Don't look at me all crazy. What did you just say a second ago?
I don't know. What did I say?
You mentioned an establishment. You mentioned an eating establishment.
Oh.
Jeez.
I'd take it to Dreamland Barbecue.
Thank you.
All right.
That's all. Why? Yeah. Leave me hanging like that. Bo, where would you take it?
I don't know, man. I think if I had something like this in my possession, I'd have to kind of do, I guess it would be me, like my perfect date. So I think I'd probably start out, I'm going to take the cup to the aquarium, and I'm going to watch some fish, and I'm going to go from there to the Sweetwater Brewery, and I'm probably going to drink out of it.
There you go.
Then I'm thinking I'm probably going to roll through Fox Brothers, though.
Oh, yeah.
And then later on at night after, however, you know, it's already been to Magic City, so I don't know where else you might go. Yeah. It's probably going to end up at Waffle House at some point.
I would have been there.
You know.
Yeah.
I got two places I thought of.
Okay.
I'd be hanging with it. Mary Max.
Mary Max, over here in Wonderful Ponds.
I'd take it over to Mary Max.
Yeah.
And then get a picture with me in the torch tower with the cup.
Oh, look at that. Look at you.
There you go. This ain't your average idiot you're dealing
look
with
at
here.
You. Look at you.
Get up there on the torch tower.
Yeah.
Two iconic symbols of this city.
Yeah.
And like right between them.
You know Georgia State owns that thing now.
Yeah, well, they ain't invited.
And I think they got
Pete ain't invited either.
But you know what? They got a propane that I think they're actually flirting with the idea of lighting it sometime.
So they can't light that thing again.
It's still got everything intact. Everything. I mean, you don't. You have.
How'd you like to be the person to fire that thing up for the first time since '96?
I'm serious. There's some people who've looked into it to really associate it with sporting events. So when
I mean, I understand it's a good idea.
When Georgia State team wins, it comes out with a blue flame. Not that blue flame. Yeah. Well, a blue flame comes out of it.
You talk about the trepidation one has when they light their fireplace for the first time in the winter after having it off.
Like,
imagine
whoa.
Lighting that thing for the first time. You think it's been lit since the Olympics, since it was put out?
I think it has, but that's a little line connected under the ground to it and everything. That's not there anymore, so man. That's the thing. But if you, I think all the mechanisms are still there.
Again, I want to let you know what's coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. We got kind of a special hour. It's doing some of the things that we normally do as we talk NFL. We have our replay of the Dan Quinn interview with John and Hugh. That's at 8 o'clock, top of the hour. We do that every Sunday morning. 8:20, try and talk to D-Led, get his thoughts, and we bounce some questions off of him having to do with our Atlanta Falcons. But today at 8:40, we are going to spend some time with our own David Archer, play-by-play. Voice of the Atlanta Falcons. No, excuse me.
This is analyst.
Analyst. Of the Atlanta Falcons, but also a teammate of Bill Frelick.
Yes.
Who we lost this past week. And so we're going to get
looking forward to that. Looking
get
forward
Arch's to Arch. Thoughts on that. Listen, this past week, again, we talked a little bit about Atlanta United, but you had some more numbers connected with this, not just the team, but the game in itself and the attendance and all of that stuff,
I ran up on an article basically from the London Mail. That's the name of the newspaper. Yep. And they watched very closely what was happening here in Atlanta, and the fact that this city that's not known as a soccer hub, nationally, internationally, was able to draw over 70,000 people out. When you draw 70,000 people out for soccer, and folk over there kind of sit up and take notice, like, whoa, what are they doing differently? What's happening over there? Right. And they noticed something was all geared toward the fans, which, when you think about something being taken care of the fan, taking
that
care
owner.
Arthur Blank, customer service.
Right.
And he said that's the way they've done things differently here. And a lot of teams there even looking at what was happening here. To think of something that wasn't in existence 2 years ago, just wasn't even in existence. Now all of a sudden, it's kind of setting a standard and having people look at a sport that's the world's most popular spectator sport in a different way. And we're doing it here. It's pretty incredible. Also, some other numbers that came out last week. Joseph Martinez, and you always bring up the debate, who is the biggest pro star in this town?
It ain't a debate anymore, though.
For a day, his jersey became the number one selling jersey ever by MLS player. And it topped people like LeBron James for a day. People bought Joseph Martinez. Think about that. Think about what this guy's doing.
Think about the coverage of MLS, too. That's the other part of it. And who's buying that jersey?
Yep. This is all.
It ain't me and you and people in our wheelhouse.
This is all geared for the future. A lot of people who want to be naysayers and say, oh, it's a soccer championship. I mean, maybe it ain't for you, but it is for the coming generation. And that's what, you know, in the lifeblood of any sport is youth participation, youth involvement. And clearly MLS is aimed at a young market, a young demographic that's coming on, that's been exposed to the sport, ready to embrace it. Just the way it's packaged here, the way it's promoted. Like I said, it's 2 hours. 2 hours in, you enjoy it, and you're out. You can plan whatever you're going to do afterwards. You know, if it's the playoffs now, it's different because then you got to go, you know, to some penalty kicks and some shoots to sell things. But, you know, ordinarily, it's a 2-hour time frame.
Right.
And in this day and age when the young folk ain't willing to, like, sit for 3-4 hours for something, it's perfect for them. So they realize who their audience really is.
You know, the crazy part about that is Sam and Greg Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. This sport is in a conversation now as the number 4 most popular sport of the professional sports here in America. I don't know that that's the case, and I don't think they care one way or the other when you put it up against baseball, basketball, and football. But here's the thing. The fact that it passed and has passed, and I say college football's passed it too.
Yeah, but that we don't count that as professional sport.
Yeah, right.
There's a whole lot of money.
it depends on who you talk to.
There's a whole lot of money being made, but we don't count that as professional sport.
How does a sport that moves as fast as hockey, though, be trumped by something that – I mean, they get the same amount of goals for the most part at times between soccer and hockey, but that sport is 10 times more tedious and the way it's played out compared to the speed of hockey, and yet people don't want to touch hockey with a 10-foot pole and have it for a while. And you can't say it's because it's played by mostly Europeans, not as many Americans or Canadians,
because
that's MLS, too.
It's still a big deal in Canada now. It's still a big deal in Canada.
We ain't talking about Canada,
though. And you still got your cities. I'm sure you go to Detroit. Detroit is still a big hockey town. You know, you got your place up in Chicago, your Philadelphia. But as far as nationwide, and as far as the television deal, you know, I'm not sure what the TV deal is like just for soccer in general, not just MLS, but Premier League and the things that NBC carries compared to their NHL coverage, which, you know, they carry as well. So
you don't find that interesting, though, that sport has been leapfrogged by others, given the speed that is a part of that game? To me, it's just fascinating to me.
Yeah, because I've yet to meet anyone who's gone to see hockey. They go see energy like they didn't like it.
I mean, you got the speed of the game, and then you got fighting going on. Not so much anymore,
fast
but still.
Fast and physical.
And yet.
Fast and physical.
And following the puck is really the key to that whole thing. But anyway, I just find it interesting. Coming up at 7 o'clock hour, we're going to talk a little college basketball. We're going to go on the other side of the glass. And there's a couple more things I want to ask Mr. Crenshaw about this bowl season that's coming up.